Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices of Hope Radio with Minister Kim and Lady Quarterback Latanya, where your voice can be heard.
Welcome to Voices of Hope Radio. This is Minister Kim this Saturday morning. Happy Saturday to each and every one of you. Well, it's been a great week for me, and I hope it was for you. But if not, guess what? That's why you're here, so we can fill you up, give you some gleam of hope today. I'm so excited that you tuned in to our weekly show. It is really going to be off the hook today. I mean, you might have some tears. You might shout. I don't know what you might do when the Spirit hit, but I do believe that the Spirit is truly going to hit right here on Blog Talk Radio. That's right. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, I will dance like David. I believe there's going to be a dance here this morning. I believe you really need a dance, that you need to be praising God. So there are some things that are going on with you right now that you've been holding on to and you won't let go. But guess what? If you just begin to give God praise, I believe that the shackles that are on your feet, the chains that are on your ankles, they will be set free because you surrendered and gave it to God. Amen? I know you saw my Sunday, but guess what? It's about God every day. Amen. And I want you to be free today, and I want you to feel hopeful today. I don't know how your week started. I don't know how it ended, but guess what? It's not over. Amen. So I want to make sure that today that you get your fuel, you get your energy, you get your gleam. Amen. So that you can continue to be blessed so that you can bless somebody else. And it first starts with you. So I'm excited about our upcoming guest today, and I want to appreciate each and every one of you who call, text, email, social media. I love you. All the birthday shout-outs, I appreciate you. 51, I ain't bragging, I ain't boasting. I'm giving God glory. It sure enough looks good on me. Amen. I don't look like what I've gone through. Only God, and I thank God for covering me. So let me get into the show. Joining us today is no other than Mr. Ken Jenkins, who turned his own tragedy into a feature film and as a result is enjoying both personal healing and filmmaking success as a heart that forgives touches us. New York, I am so pleased to have this executive producer, Ken Jenkins, here with us today. We're going to talk about the movie, but before we get into the movie, I want to talk about the man. I want to talk about the man that grew up in the Bronx. That's right. We got our Bronx Knight in the house today. He attended Western Connecticut State University. He graduated with a bachelor's in science into justice and law administration, but there were some things, amen, that turned around in his life that caused him to go a different path, and we know about that too often, amen. We set out to do one thing, but God always has another plan for our life, and this is why we have to seek the face of the Lord and allow him to order our footsteps for everything, even in the midst of you finding your purpose. Guess what? That was needed for you to be who you are today. So don't say that you're a failure. Don't say that I keep going around in circles. I don't know what I'm doing. Just seek the face of the Lord. You'll get it. You'll get it. Amen. It took me some time. It took Ken some time. But guess what? When you get it, you know you got it. You run with it. Amen. Because it becomes your passion. And when you have passion, guess what? You make the necessary sacrifice. So we're going to go to our first commercial break. We got executive producer Kim M. Sutter's in the house. That's our angel. Yep, shout out to her today. And our co-host, Latanya. God bless you. Amen. Latanya babysitting this summer. Amen. We got to get her back on and let us know how it was to have a little one in the house. Well, she ain't calling me talking about she in the hospital somewhere, so she good. But look, enough of me. When we come back, we are going to have our guest this morning, Mr. Ken Jenkins, with us in the building. We'll be right back on Voices of Hope Radio.
I love God.
You don't love God? What's wrong with you?
I love God.
You don't love God? What's wrong with you?
Welcome back. This is your girl, Minister Kim, right here on Voices of Hope Radio. Today we have Mr. Ken Jenkins, executive producer of A Heart That Forgives. How many of us are holding on to some stuff? Well, you know what? Today your process begins, because healing is a process. Forgiveness is a process. The first step is surrendering. Amen. So we want to welcome Mr. Ken Jenkins to Voices of Hope. Good morning. Good morning, Ken. How are you?
I'm very well. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. I am truly at a loss for words this morning, and it's early in the show. And the reason why, because I read your bio, I looked at the preview of the movie, and I can say that we've heard everyone's story, right? Everyone, we all have a story. I have my own story. But your story hit home. It hit me so hard that I was like, OMG, I really have to have this young man. So shout out to Pamela, amen, my bestie, who just set this up for us. And I appreciate her, all the hard work that she does, and I thank you for just saying yes. But I'm just grateful that you chose to share your story with us today, and now with the world, what you have been doing since February. So it's truly an honor. It's a bless. So, you know, I got some questions for you. I need to hear, amen, and I'm grateful that you're going to be transparent with us. So, Ken, you initially had one plan. You was heading in that direction when tragedy struck you. And I know the first thing that happened to you, the loss of your dad. What was your relationship like with your father?
My relationship with my dad was very, very good. He was my buddy. You know, every child gets to a point in their life where the dad-child relationship becomes less important and the love relationship becomes more important, and you start seeing each other as adults and as men. Mm-hmm. We were just getting to that point, and he was diagnosed with cancer, and then it wasn't long after that that he passed away.
I'm so sorry to hear. So your dad passes where your relationship is changing, right? So how old was you when your dad passed?
I had just graduated college, so I was 20. You know, in that critical point of life where I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing with the rest of my life. I knew what the plans were, but the plans didn't seem to be working out as I had them in my mind. And we all know about, you know, making God laugh, telling what our plans are, right?
Right. You're like, okay, go ahead. You want to do that? I'm going to sit right here.
Exactly.
You'll be back.
Exactly.
Well, thank God we, you know, you came back. Amen. A lot of us came back, and this is why we're here today. Amen. To tell our story, to give hope to someone who is in that wilderness. Amen. They're like the prodigal son out there feeling their way. And, you know, I got this. I know how to do this. And God's saying, okay, I'm sitting waiting. You're going to hit a lump, a bump or two. You're going to get tired of that. You're going to come right back home. So we're going to tell you, come, go on back. Just get up and go on back, take everything and just go on back and just get in the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, okay, you are the masterpiece. Come on, tell me what I'm working with. Amen. And you'll be much happier. Amen. So you're 20 years old. You lost your best friend, the love. So now, what, because oftentimes when we at this critical age in our life, amen. And it doesn't matter about gender. I oftentimes like, well, you know, when you a girl, you miss your dad or son. It doesn't matter. A child, a young adult misses the loss of a parent. That's significant in that individual's life, right? And regardless of the gender, you need that parent. So you're 20. So often when we lose something, there's vulnerability, there's a lot of thoughts, you know, a lot of feelings that comes with it. So sometimes we turn to negative or positive things. So Ken loses his dad. He just finishes college. You know, thank God my dad was here. He witnessed, you know, saw me achieve. So that's, you're feeling good about that. But now you hit So what happened? Do you turn to the streets? Do you turn to the Bible? Like, what was your turn?
Well, turning to the streets wasn't necessarily an option for me, because I come from the streets. I came from the streets of the Bronx, with Boogie Down, right over by Fort Apache. I grew up in the streets, and so before I even knew God, he knew me, and he saved me from that world. And I thank my parents, my mother and my father, for exposing me to opportunities outside of my immediate environment. But after graduating, you know, it was great to have him there to see me accomplish. That was a very big moment for me. But now I'm entering this phase of quote-unquote adulthood. And the most important adult role model for me is not there. And so, you know, I really have to say that I just kind of drifted for a long time. Just, you know, did things that were easy for me. You know, I started working and I was making a little money. And I decided, well, I don't need to go to law school right now. Emotionally, I'm not ready to go to law school right now. And I actually was scheduled to take the LSAT, the law school test. Mm-hmm. And then my dad died. And then I remember sitting in that test and not being able to concentrate at all. And so I just kind of moved into the working world. I figured I'd focus on other things to take my mind off of that loss. And I just started working, and, you know, once I got into a job, and I just ended up staying, and, you know, 10, 15 years later, I never did go back, so to speak.
And sometimes that does happen, right?
Right.
Something significant happens in our life, and it just is the turn of where God originally wanted us to go anyway. So we deal with that. You said 10, 15 years later. Then 2010, another tragedy, a sudden loss.
Yeah. I was, a number of years later, obviously, and now I'm married. I have two girls, two beautiful girls, Jamila and Jahari. And I go to bed. I've moved from New York to Connecticut and then from Connecticut to Dallas, where I am now. I go to bed on a Monday night. I'm a happy husband. With a wife, and I wake up Tuesday morning as a single dad. So that sudden change, was not something I had ever imagined I would experience, or obviously wasn't prepared for. But I know nothing catches God by surprise. Even though we may not expect it, God's plan for us was formed while we were still in the womb. And none of it caught him by surprise. And I realized as I looked at my children how much they needed me at that point, because they were 11 and 14 at the time. And I just know that I needed to find out what God was doing in our lives, was doing in my life, what his purpose was for me at that point. So that's when I began to just really focus and really seek the voice and the face of God as to what I was supposed to be doing now as a single dad. That's a scary thing.
Yeah. I was just watching this past Sunday, Marvin Sapp, and he was on Ensemble, and he talked about just what you said, and I just felt like I had like an out of spirits moment, because he talked about that. I mean, I know his wife was ill, but just the fact of deterioration and then going and raising, he has three children, and that's what he said. And that song, like, I know you have a plan for me. Like, I was hearing the lyrics, like, you got to have a plan for my life. This is all this tragedy. All these things are occurring in my life. God, I know you better than this. I know that there's purpose, even in my pain, even in my suffering, even in my grief, that there has to be something else. And that's why I said that I was speechless early in the interview, because I knew I was going to talk about this. I knew that I wanted to give a picture of what you have gone through and what God has done for you to help someone else to get there as well. Amen. Because everybody got a story. We don't all wear the same size shoe. We ain't all on the same path, but we do have a story. We all can relate to tragedies. We all can relate to pain. And then after that, getting up, and like you said, I have two daughters. They're 11, 14. They're young. I got to get up. I got to continue to live. And the irony of it, it was at, right after Marvin Sapp lost his wife, we were at a concert here in the Bronx at the Paradise Theater, and I'll never forget. I was like, he's definitely not coming. You know, he just buried his wife. He ain't coming. Uh-huh. And when he hit that platform, I thought we was at church. He ministered to the brokenhearted. He ministered in song. And it was just so powerful. And I believe that God is using you, Ken, to minister, to give people that picture, that image that they need in reference to healing. You know, forgiving yourself. Because even I read, you know, going into the purpose of you being here is telling your story. And from then to where you at now, the progression. Healing is a process, right? Forgiveness is a process. You talked about I first had to forgive myself. And when we come back, I want to talk about that. Like, where did you find that you did wrong? Your dad is gone. Your wife is gone. Where did I go wrong? And a lot of times we put the blame on us. You know, when we have a loss, we always feel like, I did something wrong. And you have children growing up, and this is why I'm making a point, Ken. You have children, and I'm a counselor, and I hear that in adult men. Like, my mom says she will never leave me, and they can't get over the loss of their parent. They just can't move, and they succumb to the drugs and the alcohol and the negative behaviors in and out of the prison system because, again, that forgiveness, letting go. So I definitely want to talk about that. If you're willing to share, like, you start writing, and you said, I first had to forgive me. We'll be back on Voice of Radio with Mr. Ken Jenkins, executive producer of A Heart That Forgives, premier movie that you got to check out this coming Thursday, July 27th at Miss Harlem, right here in the heart of New York. We'll be back.
Hey guys, it's Marcia Guerriere, founder of Women on the Rise NY. Do you have a small business in need of capital and business services? As a business owner, are you struggling to up-level? Well, Women on the Rise is committed to small businesses. That's why we've introduced the Women on the Rise Small Business Pitch Contest. We are so excited to award the top three pitches our small business grant. Those who apply are women who are feeling the call to boss up and know they have the power to turn their message into a movement. If that sounds like you, register today for the Women on the Rise Small Business Pitch Contest at www.womenontherise.ny/pitch. See you soon.
Starting a nonprofit is an exciting experience. It gives you an opportunity to turn your passion for giving and serving others into a reality. However, starting a nonprofit also comes with a lot of challenges. Many organizations fail before they launch by not knowing how to set up their organization correctly. Don't get frustrated trying to navigate through the IRS tax-exempt paperwork to start a nonprofit, register your charitable organization, or even if your status has been revoked. Let our professional staff do the work for you. We are helping nonprofits run like for-profits. Schedule your discovery call today by visiting our website at thenonprofitcoach.org or by calling 240-547-8780.
Welcome back on Voices of Hope Radio. This is Minister Ken with our guest, Executive Director Ken Jenkins. Have an awesome, awesome movie out. Amen. You can definitely catch it this Thursday at Miss Harlem, right here in the heart of Harlem on 116th Street. You don't want to miss it. If you feel like you're holding on to something, or you know, there ain't no feeling, you know that you have not let go of something, this is the place. But you will be inspired, feel the love, and just get delivered. Amen. Ken,
Yes.
You're at a place in your life that you're a single father, and you say, I need to forgive me. What was going on, and why did you feel that there was a need for you to forgive yourself?
Well, I think the first thing was knowing that my wife, when she passed away, he was alone. And that as a husband, that as the man of the home, that somehow I should have been aware. I should have protected her better. I should have been there. What happened was she essentially got up and went for a walk, and she loved to walk. And instead of getting up and going with her, like I did on occasion, I did not go that morning. And so that whole surviving guilt aspect of, man, if I had just gotten up, maybe I would have been able to save her. Maybe I would have been able to administer CPR. Maybe I would have convinced her not to go out that morning. But then in addition to that, you know, you look at your children and you see how they're hurting, and you just want that hurt to stop. And you feel that, if, you know, as the man again, you know, had you done more, had you loved more, had you given more, then you would not have caused this pain. Even though you realize that you have not caused it logically, emotionally, you really don't understand it, because all you want to do is have that pain stop. All you want to do is have your children be okay. All you want to do is kind of get back to normal. And so for me, I had to realize at some point that I had to allow myself the permission to heal. A lot of times, as I felt myself mentally moving on, emotionally, I pulled myself back, because I would say, literally, I can't do this yet. I can't do this yet. I can't show my children, who are still hurting, that I'm moving on. I mean, they would not understand that. So I had to realize that at some point I had to say it was okay to heal. And part of that healing process was forgiving myself, that I was, in fact, the man that I sought to be, that I promised God that I would be. And her death was not a result of anything that I did or did not do. But her death, her homegoing, was a result of God's plan. Because, as I said before, he knew me as I was formed in the womb. He knew that I would go through the loss of my father after I graduated college. He knew that I would go through the years that I went through to meet the woman that I eventually married, and who eventually led me to a relationship with a young man, a gospel singer by the name of Kevin LaVar, who wrote this phenomenal song called A Heart That Forgives. I mean, that was planned all along in God's master plan. I had no idea. I could never have figured it all out. But as I sit back and I talk with Kevin now, and we talk about what God has in store and what God is doing, I can just feel a sense of comfort in the fact that this was all part of his plan. But it all began with me giving myself the permission to heal, and letting myself know that it was okay, that I had to forgive me.
Wow. Woo, that's all I could say. Because you're actually right. It's like that mind conversation, right? Nobody else is in the room. And you begin to think and play this out like I should have, could have, right? You know, you try to write out how it would have turned out if you would have did this.
Right.
In all actuality, again, we are not in control. You know, we have to learn how to lean and depend on God and trust him. And sometimes that's how we get. We're like, oh, well, if I would have did this, this wouldn't have happened. But God has a plan. He has a master plan for all of us. It wasn't God's will for you to go that day. It was just the way it was supposed to happen. Even though it's tragic, but through it all, you were healed. Your children are healed. Like you said, you met Kevin Law. And when I first heard A Heart to Forgive, oh, my God, I boo-hoo. I was just all in my emotions. And I was like, Lord, like, what I need to be healed from, because I always make it personal to me. And 2014, I kept saying, like, what is going on in my life, and, you know, why am I so emotional every time I hear this artist sing this song? And I just had to spend some time in the presence of the Lord, and I realized that I didn't let go of something that I should have let go. I thought I had let it go, but yeah. I really didn't. You know, it was still had a root in me. And that's the thing about unforgiveness. It gets rooted in us. It gets tangled in our spirit, and, you know, it don't surface every now and then, but it comes up. So God had to deal with me with that, and I thank God for Kevin LaVar. I thank God for that song. I thank God for what you are doing now. So let's talk about the play. Now, you start writing after you said, I'm allowing myself permission to heal. So I had to, I'm going to take that. Run with it. Yeah. Now allow yourself the permission to heal, everybody. Amen? So
amen.
You say, okay, God, let you do what you need to do on me. I'm going to heal. So then you start writing. Do you dream about what you're going to do, or you just take a pen and a pad and one day you just go to writing?
Well, I've always loved to write. Mm-hmm. I've written a couple of books in the past. I've written poetry. I've always loved to express myself through writing. When I'm writing, it's like I'm in a completely isolated world, where it's just me, God, and my thoughts and my heart. And it's just a good, good feeling for me. So I'll tell you a quick funny story, actually, before I go into that. That song by Kevin LaVar, he wasn't actually sure it was going to go on his CD. That
wow.
Initial CD. And I remember my wife at the time, we'd met through mutual friends. He was doing a show here in Dallas, and we met through mutual friends, and we became good friends, and he would stay here with me in Dallas anytime he came through Texas.
Uh-huh.
He was sitting in my living room playing on my piano. He's like, Ken, I need you to hear this. So come on in here and check uh-huh. this out. I'm not sure I'm going to put it on my CD. He started playing and singing A Heart That Forgives.
Wow, look at that. Whoa.
Yes.
Blowing my mind.
This was before my wife passed away. This was before I even thought about writing a screenplay or writing a movie. And by the time he was done with that, I didn't know why, but I was on the floor in a ball weeping, knowing that there was something in my life that I needed to let go of. And I needed to dig down deep and seek God within me in order to allow that to be released. So, you know, we fast forward a number of years, and I'm sitting at my table. My wife has now passed away. And I'm just sitting at my table, and my children are at school, and taking some time off work. And, you know, to be honest with you, that whole first year was kind of a blur. It was just a year of not knowing exactly what was happening, what was going on. But I remember sitting there and just kind of staring at the TV. The TV was watching me, as people would say. And I said, you know, I need to write. I need to write this down. I need to journalize what's going on, because that was my release at the time. I didn't have a chance to mourn because I needed to be on for my children, if you understand what I'm saying. Right. I needed to be there for them. I needed to be present. I needed to make sure their lives settled down and didn't get completely disheveled and uprooted. And so I began writing. And initially, I began writing what I thought was going to be another book. Called Sudden Change. And that book was going to speak to men that had gone through the sudden loss of their spouses. Interestingly enough, within the first couple of weeks after my wife's passing, I was being introduced to other men just through mutual friends who had gone through the same thing. And they would come up to me and ask me, you know, how am I doing it? How am I getting over it? And so forth. And I would just sit with them sometimes and talk and saying, you know, I can't give you the answers, but this is just what's going on in my head. Okay. So I began writing this story about understanding the need to forgive yourself, to move on, and to understand it's okay to heal. And as I began writing that story, dealing strictly with my own pain, I began to hear these other stories about forgiveness and what forgiveness means to each of us, because it is unique to each of us. For me, the thing that needed to be forgiven was me. That needed to happen within me. For you, for instance, you may have hurt someone, and you need to seek forgiveness from them. That's something that stuck with you, that you knew you had to do, that God always put in your spirit. At some point, you're going to need to go and reconcile. You're going to need to do that. And for someone else, someone may have hurt them, and they need to offer forgiveness to that person, because the reality is the forgiveness that they offer is not for the other person. It's for us. You know, in most cases, that other person's gone on and then living their lives, and they're not thinking about you, and you're kind of sitting and stuck in this seed of bitterness and resentment because of what they've done to you, and all it is doing is affecting your ability to love, your ability to let your light shine, your ability to live out God's purpose in you. And so I realized the forgiveness we all seek is unique to us. And you mentioned a few times that we all have a story. I don't know if you realize that the tagline to A Heart That Forgives is everyone has a story. What began to develop was these intermingled stories of these characters and the path that they have to get on to the forgiveness that they need in their lives. And each one is unique, but each one so desperately needs it for their own healing, for their own fulfillment of God's purpose in their life. And that's key. A lot of times we get in the way of fulfilling God's purpose in our lives because we're stuck somewhere and we haven't allowed ourselves to let go.
Like the minute in the wilderness, right, is your life.
Yes.
You didn't want to let go. Yes. We got to let go. We got to let go. Whatever it is. And it's a process. We didn't get to talk about the process that it took you, but I believe initially you started with the pen and the paper, you giving yourself permission to allow yourself to forgive. All that was a part of the process, the plan, the making of who you are today and what you are doing, inspiring others to forgive themselves, forgive that person that they hurt. Go to them and say, I'm sorry, amen, because they're holding on. You know, this unforgiveness is a virus. It's cancerous, right? It can kill us. It kills our destiny, our purpose, our happiness, our peace.
Mm-hmm.
It destroys so much. It can kill your family.
Yeah. There is an old saying, an old quote. I don't know who originally quoted it, but there's an old quote that goes something like, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die.
Wow.
That is so to the point of
what. Yes, that's core. That's real talk.
Is about, and the reality is God commands us to reconcile. He commands us to forgive as he forgave us.
Mm-hmm,
and if we don't seek to do that, then we're disobedient.
Yes.
And that, you know, that may not. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was saying that concept may not go over well with others, because a lot of people think, well, I can't forgive if they don't come to me and ask. It doesn't matter whether that person comes to you and asks for your forgiveness if they've hurt you. You have a responsibility within the kingdom of God to honor God through offering what he offered to us without us asking him. He offered us his forgiveness for our sins. So we need to do that.
Yeah, I was thinking when you talked about forgiveness and how God commands us to forgive, to have a repentant heart towards one another. I thought about Peter when he went to Jesus, and he was saying, how often shall I forgive my brother of a sin? And he said, seven times, meaning that over and over again. It doesn't stop. It's infinity. You have to continue to forgive your brother. You have to continue to forgive one another. So, like you said, God's commanding us not to hold grudges, not to be angry with one another, not walk around and not speak. You find family members that don't speak to their loved ones. I'm like, what? You never know. Tomorrow's not promised to none of us.
Amen.
And the hardest thing is, when that person is stretched, laid out before you, you the one that's at the going home first, acting up, crying and all that. No, go to them. Write a letter. Right. Do whatever you need to do. Make it right. So you don't have to, I'm going to say it, I'm sorry, Ken. Don't act a fool at the funeral. We don't need all the ushers to put their focus on you. And you crying out of unforgiveness. Like, oh my God, I should have. No, we don't want to hear it now.
Right. Exactly. I'm telling, I get it.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That are listening this morning, I'm sure there are other people out there who are in a similar situation. I'm a living, breathing testimony of the concept of tomorrow is not promised.
Uh-uh.
I went to bed on a Monday night in one place in my life, and I woke up Tuesday morning in a completely different place.
Jesus.
So that changed your life. Absolutely. You have to trust God, live for today, and love for today.
I love that. Trust God. Woo-hoo. And live for today, you said? Live for today.
And love for today.
I love that. That's another one I'm taking, Ken. Like, what in the world? But I'm gonna give you props though. I'm gonna put your name right next to it.
Amen.
No, because I see how that's some wonderful stuff. We gonna go to commercial break. When we come back, we wanna talk about the premiere. We wanna talk about the red carpet. We wanna talk about Miss Harlem, how they could get some tickets, and we're gonna have such an awesome time. Amen. Right in the heart of Harlem. We're gonna be in New York, NYC. We'll be back on Voice of Hope Radio. Rich Girl, Vanessa Kim, and Ken Jenkins. We'll be back.
Guys, it's Marcia Guerriere, founder of Women on the Rise and Why. Do you have a small business in need of capital and business services? As a business owner, are you struggling to up-level? Well, Women on the Rise is committed to small businesses. That's why we've introduced the Women on the Rise Small Business Pitch Contest. We are so excited to award the top three pitches our small business grant. Those who apply are women who are feeling the call to boss up and know they have the power to turn their message into a movement. If that sounds like you, register today for the Women on the Rise Small Business Pitch Contest at www.womenontherise.ny/pitch. See you soon.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, my family, my friends, amen, the Boogie Boogie Down Bronx, amen, and our guest today, Ken Jenkins. the executive producer of this awesome film writing movie, A Heart That Forgives. You have some amazing, some of my fans, the people that I love to see because they make me laugh, they make me cry. OMG, your lineup of actors and actresses. I mean, you got Carl Anthony Payne, the second from Martin on. Come on now. He is a jokester. I can't wait to see his movie because I love him. And then you got my man. I call him my man. I love Charles. Charles Whitefield. OMG. You got some wonderful people here, and I'm just so excited that they said yes to the film, to being a part of your vision. So thank you for choosing New York City, amen, to do a red carpet premiere right here in the heart of Harlem. Tell us about the premiere. Tell us how we can get some tickets and tell us what's next. We want to hear it all right here.
Okay. Can I tell you one more little story? Because, you know, I'm
sure. Go ahead.
Because
you helping somebody. Get free.
Yeah. I just want to encourage people to really understand that sometimes when you feel God is quiet in your life, even when you feel he's giving you a vision, but you feel that vision or that purpose is not coming as quickly as you like and you're not hearing what you want to hear or seeing what you want to see, you just got to keep being obedient to the spirit that God has given you. And God was in this project right from the very beginning. So I remember having a conversation with Carl one night, and I told him the story. 5 years ago, when I first started writing this, I'm a big believer in trying to envision, trying to visualize in my mind how I want things to happen, how I want things to look, and ultimately cover that all with prayer. I have a board. I have a whiteboard in my office here at my studio, and I started literally cutting out pictures of people, right, that I wanted to put in this movie I hadn't even written yet, right? I literally started cutting out faces and sticking up on my board, and I know my kids are looking at me. What is the daddy's lost it, right? And so on that board, 5 years ago, before I knew a soul in the film industry, on that board was Carl Anthony Payne's picture and Charles Malik Whitfield's picture in the role, in those very roles that they ultimately played. Now, Charles is, I mean, he is just phenomenal. He plays the role of Silk, who chooses a path that's a little bit dark, but he knows the calling of God is on his life, and he's fighting that. And he does such a phenomenal job in this role. Carl Anthony Payne. Now, everyone knows Carl as Coley Cole, right? While he does cut up every now and then, there were some days when I don't even think he was on script once. He just had us dying. But he won Best Supporting Actor for his role as LeVar in A Heart That Forgives at the Bare Bones Film Festival in Oklahoma. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and if I am and he hears this, he'll probably call me, but I believe this is the first role of this type that he's been recognized for, because it's not your typical Coley Cole role. Well, he does have some levity into it and everything, just because that's his nature. But he plays a supportive character. He plays a man of God. He plays a person that ultimately helps bring about the forgiveness in these characters, these two main characters, Silk and his brother, the pastor. He helps bring about that healing, and brings a sense of calmness and just a sense of order to the scenario. So he's really going to surprise you in this role. We also have the incomparable Irma P. Hall. People know her from Soul Food. Miss Hall, Mama Hall, we call her. Just celebrated, I believe, her 77th birthday recently. Just phenomenal just to sit up under her and listen to her talk sometimes about life and about processes and about God. And so we have a great, great cast. And we are bringing this movie to New York, my hometown. It's going to be at The Mist in Harlem. Saturday, July 27th at 7 p.m. Tickets are available at Eventbrite. Right now, tickets are $20. You can go to eventbrite.com and you can just search A Heart That Forgives New York City and it'll come up. We do have group rates available. We've had a number of churches want to bring multiple people out, so we've offered some group rates available. So just reach out to us if you have a group of 10 or more. You can also get tickets on our website, aheartthatforgivesthemovie.com. It's going to be a great opportunity just to share this message, continue to share this message of God's healing through power of forgiveness.
Ooh, powerful. I'm so looking forward to Thursday night. OMG, I'm telling you, if you have not purchased your ticket, I'm definitely going to have it up on our show page. Please purchase a ticket. If you are part of any church in the New York area, you need to get a group of your girls, a group of the guys. Amen. Tell your leaders, we need to do something. We need to go out at our church. And the month of August is usually Wednesday nights when we have fun night. So my pastor makes it like fun. So I'm going to start it early. We should do that July 27th. Make it a fun night and take your family out and watch this film, A Heart That Forgives. I am so happy. I'm excited for all the nominations and everything that you've received thus far. And I believe that there's greater to come for you and each and every one that is part of this play, part of the vision, part of just helping souls. God is doing strategically something really different in the universe. And I'll say this as we come to a close tonight, because we watched, I don't know if anybody watched, but the prayer room, the war room, it's a prayer room, right? Let me tell you. Right, the war, okay, what was it? See, that's the age coming in. See, I told you I'm 51, right?
Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you so much, Kim. But that movie touched my heart. So God is bringing himself, his spirit, out in the movie theater. So you can come. You can get saved right in the movie theater. Come on, y'all. While you chewing on some popcorn, you can get to live it. So come on out. Let's support Ken. Let's support the vision and share it. I need y'all to share. Amen. It's so important that we support one another. Amen. He's an independent filmmaker. Amen. So everything comes from his pocket. So let's help the brother out. Amen. Come on, y'all. I need him to know that he came on Voice of Hope Radio and we support it. Amen. We sow seeds into the vision so that God can do the rest. I want to thank you so much for stopping by Voice of Hope Radio. You definitely gave us a gleam of hope, and we will definitely look forward to more to come with A Heart That Forgives. God bless you.
And God bless you. And thank you.
You're welcome.
A heart that forgives, a heart full of love, one with compassion just like yours above, one that overcomes evil, goodness and love. Like it never happened, never holding a grudge. Want a heart that forgives, lives and lets live, one that keeps loving over and over again, one that men can offend because your word is thin, one that loves without price like you, Lord Jesus Christ, one a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies, one a love like you, be like you, just like you. Want a heart that forgives. and the ones that are closest, that I've known the longest, hurt me the most. I still want to love them just like you love me, even though I'm hurting. I want a heart that forgets when the pain is so deep. It's so hard to speak about it to anyone, just like your son. I give up my right to hold it against them with hatred inside. I want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies. I want a love like and be like and just like and did. I want to walk like and talk like, just like you did. Want to be like and live like, just like you did. Cause a heart that forgives is a heart that will live. Totally free from the pain of the past. And the heart that lets go, that will know so much freedom. Lord, I want to let it go.
Hallelujah.
God, I need to let it go. Lord, it's been holding me back, and I don't want it no more. I don't know exactly what to do to get rid of it, but here I am, Lord Jesus. Here I am, oh, here I am, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I need you, I need you. I know this is me that you're talking to. This is me, this is me, this is me, Lord, this is me. Lord, I let it go. Never hurt me. God, I let it go. Every single hurt. God, I let it go. Every single pain. God, I let it go. I let it go. I let it go. Lord, you can have. Lord, you can have. Lord, you can have it. Lord, you can have it. You can have it now. You can have it now. I don't want it more.